Mastermind Agent is proud to present Success Calls. Top real estate agents from across North America reveal their success secrets, strategies, and systems in up-close and personal interviews. You can find all the calls at www.mastermindagent.com.
Hi, I'm Mike Cerrone with Mastermind Agent. This month's top agent is Mike Ferrante with Century 21 in Cleveland, Ohio. Last year, he closed 170 transactions with a total sales volume of $20 million. His average sales price was $117,000, of which 50% were buyers and 50% were sellers. He has a 26-member team, 21 realtors, part-time and full-time agents, one transaction coordinator, one listing coordinator, one virtual assistant, one field rep, and one team leader. Mike Ferrante is the team leader of the 21 Mike team. He's been an agent for 8 years and sold 1,200 homes in his short career. In this call, Mike talks about being a part-time agent for the first 2 years, how he sold 12 homes his first year as a part-time agent, working internet lead investor buyers to get started, building his agent income to match his old job before he could burn the boats, quit his job, and go full-time in real estate, how he's been raising his average sales price, getting buyer leads from his listings by recording live-action video house tours, posting them on Facebook, and boosting the posts, why he changed his CRM and which one he picked, how he's getting 80% of his listings by repeating referrals from past clients and sphere of influence, generating referrals by hosting social mixers and networking through BNI, structuring a team of both part-time and full-time agents based on the concept of low overhead and high volume, the benefits of hosting a Realtor Night of Champions, team dynamics, compensation, profit margins, and more. Welcome to the call, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice being with you, Mike.
Hey, Mike, it's great to have you here. Mike, before we talk about what you're doing today, let's go back for a minute and talk about what you did before you got into real estate.
Okay. Should we go all the way back to when I was a paper boy or should we talk about more relevant experience?
You go back as far as you would like.
Okay. So I'll start with graduating from college. I actually did undergrad and then I was lucky enough to do an MBA right here in Cleveland at Case Western Weatherhead School of Management. And I always had an interest in real estate related fields. I thought I wanted to be a huge real estate investor, and I still do some investing to this day. But the way I started out back in 91 was graduating from school and buying a house. So back then I was buying HUD houses and bank owned properties before it was quote cool. And that's what I did. In addition to having a painting contracting business, I would buy about one house a year, fix them up. Sometimes I'd rent them. Sometimes I would flip them. And for a long time, I did that and always enjoyed it. And did some other construction work as well for a while there. I had a full-time job with a construction company. And after that started getting a little stale, I said, you know, I should go back and get my real estate license like I always intended to and never did. And so I finally did that, started out as a part-time agent with a full-time job. Still, of course, doing the investment properties. And then when I matched my income at the job, talked it over with my wife and said, yeah, let's do this. And she blessed the decision and I quit my job and went into real estate full time. And that was right about 2010. And so since then, I've built up the team and really got a thriving business. And I'm so glad I did what I did.
How long were you a part-time agent also working a full-time job?
That was about 2 years. So I got my license at the very end of 2008. And I would say by the end of 2010 is about when I made that decision. And in early 2011 is when I started working real estate full time. So it took me about 2 years of working two jobs, essentially, to get my business to the point where I was comfortable quitting that job.
Do you think that you had a fast start or a slow start in that very first year that you went in? And we're talking about that part-time year, 2008.
I was pretty pleased with my start. You know, I had heard how difficult this business can be and how with any sort of sales job where you're building a portfolio of clients and trying to ramp up that it could be a slow start. I'll never forget my first year. I sold 12 houses my first year. Now, the way I did it was I took anything that came my way. I feel like agents coming in the business, sure, sometimes they have a vision and they say, well, I'm going to be a luxury agent or I'm going to do this or that. But I think as a new agent, if you're really serious about it, you kind of have to take whatever comes your way with the realization that, yeah, okay, I sold a $10,000 bank-owned house in Cleveland today, but that person, that buyer, that client has friends and family and people they know. And when you serve one person, it snowballs and you gain clients from that. And that's exactly what I did. So to answer your question, my first year I thought was fantastic. I used my time very efficiently because I had to. And I sold 12 houses my first year and I was quite pleased with that.
Yeah, that's pretty good, especially as a part-time agent, 12 homes your first year. Do you recall, you said you were taking business from anywhere. Do you recall what you were doing to generate that business? And were you working more with buyers or sellers?
I recall exactly. So I was working almost all buyers. I think that's an easier way to start out. It's kind of hard to walk in someone's door and say, I'm a great listing agent. I can sell your house because I have all the knowledge. It's very hard to do that. I think the only listing I had, gosh, I'm trying to remember what it was, but I'm sure it was, something easy, some cheap house that I listed. But sure, I was doing almost all buyers. And because I didn't really know what I was doing, I was approached by a company. I'm not even sure if they're still around, but they went under the name of USHUD.com, and they sold what I realized today were pretty garbage leads. Now, I still think that it was good for me at the time. I paid them about $200 a month to get all these leads, and a lot of them were investor-type buyers. And I followed up with them like a maniac. You know, I didn't know any better. So I just said, wow, this is great. I'm getting 30 leads a month and I'm converting one or two of them into a client. And one of those is buying a house. And that's pretty much how I sold all those houses. And at the end of the day, like I said, it wasn't a waste of time. I hooked up with a couple great investors out of doing that who ended up buying about 15, 17 houses with me. And then when they decided to unload their portfolio, they listed all of them with me. So that work on the front end, selling cheap houses, turned into about 30 to 40 transactions with just one client that I landed from doing that.
Were most of those buyers the first year investors?
I'd say a good portion of them were. I did have a few first-time type home buyers that I really enjoyed working with, and it was a good experience for me. The good thing about working with first-time home buyers is they don't know anything either. You know, so I'm a new agent. I really don't know the realtor business very well, but they don't know that. So I approached it with a lot of confidence. Anything that they asked me that I didn't know the answer to, rather than say, well, I'm new, I don't know, I just simply said, I'll get that answer for you. And I think that everyone I worked with that first year, even though they had no idea that I was brand new, the reason they didn't know is because I approached it with a lot of confidence. And when I didn't know something, I went and got the answer very quickly and came back to them and said, well, here's your answer. So it did seem like I knew what I was doing. And because of my past experience as an investor and working on homes, I think I was able to approach the business with a lot of confidence.
So you did part-time for 2 years. You built up your income stream to match your income that you're earning at the other job. And then you took that leap of faith and you jumped in full-time. That had to be a little challenging, scary, even though you had built up that income. You know, why not just run both jobs for as long as you can and double up on that income? What was the impetus? What got you to get over that hump and jump in full-time?
I love the way you put that, Mike, the leap of faith. but to be honest with you, and I'm not sure this is always the best motivator, but the job I was working, while I really enjoyed it the first couple of years, I started not enjoying it as much. And I started feeling unappreciated at that job. And I started realizing that I really loved doing real estate. And so it was a very easy decision for me to make. It just played out that way. And when I did it, there was no doubt in my mind that it was what I wanted to do. Also, it's just part of my makeup. I'm a very competitive, motivated person. And I realized that at the job, I knew exactly what my income potential was. Aside from some little bonuses here and there, I could work as hard as I wanted to, and there was a ceiling on my income. And when I started thinking about real estate, the harder I worked, the more I could potentially make in my own business, and that really excited me. So all those factors played together, and it was an easy decision for me to make. And, you know, when you say the leap of faith, I always love the expression, burning the boats. You know, if you don't give yourself an escape route, you only have one direction you can go. And that is, in this case, was to build a successful business. I really didn't have an escape plan, a safety net. So I burned the boats and moved forward with my business.
That's fantastic. Very good. Burn the boats. All right. Well, let's do this. Let's talk about some of the quick stats that people want to hear about you. So how long have you been in the business?
I've been licensed since the very end of 2008. So since 2009, and that puts me at a little over 7 years.
How many homes did you sell last year?
Last year we did 170 transactions.
Do you recall the sales volume on that?
Oh, yeah, exactly. That was about $20 million.
Do you recall how many homes you've sold in your career?
It's getting pretty close to 1,200 right now. And the thing is, each year it goes up. And that's always something that I talk about and think about when I'm doing my plan for the next year. So toward the end of each year, we kind of go over these numbers and figure out how we're going to increase that number every year, both transactions, total volume. And one of the huge goals for me, given the history that I just told you, starting with such low priced homes, is to increase our average sale price. That's been a huge goal for my team and me. Last year, we got that up to just under $120,000 being our average sale price. And truly, our short-term goal here is to get that up to about 150. I know that when I talk about those numbers with people in different markets, they kind of shake their heads and say, wow, that's really, you got to grind to make any money doing that. But that's par for our market. You know, we're not Los Angeles or New York City where we can sell 12 homes a year like I did my first year and call that a great income. You know, we have to grind it out with those smaller sales.
Now, you mentioned that you're objective is to raise your average sales price. How are you doing that?
Well, largely it's generated by the types of listings that we're going after. So by comparison, my first year when I told you I pretty much would go after anything, any buyer, we've made a concerted effort to really go after some higher priced listings, which will in turn generate higher priced buyers and kind of moves the whole machine in that direction. So it's just a concerted effort to go after that type of business. Not that we're turning away the lower price business. And I'm sure as we start talking about the structure of the team, we've got a bunch of different people on our team. So I still have people on my team that love that investor business. So if I've got a $50,000 listing in Maple Heights and we're getting buyers for that, I've got people on my team that still like working that kind of business and they'll do it. By the same token, I've got other folks on the team that, you know, we've got something in Solon right now for closer to $600,000. And a gal like Fran, who's on my team, she likes that kind of business. She's good at that. So she works that. Now, you may ask, well, why doesn't everybody just want to do the high-end stuff? Well, it just isn't what everyone's comfortable with. I've got certain people that just aren't good at that high-end stuff, and they'll go ahead and crank 25 small deals a year, as opposed to someone like Fran, who might sell 10 houses a year, but that's what she's good at.
You're also mentioning that you want to raise the number of units each year. Last year was 170 closings. What are you on track to close this year?
We are going to be at about 225. And if you don't mind, I'd like to elaborate on that. I know some people would say, well, why not just boost that average sale price and do less volume? Isn't it less work? And yeah, that is true. But my feeling is that when you're doing a higher number of units every year, that makes you very resistant to downturns in the market. I think that those folks that are only doing a certain type of business, one type of business, maybe high end, and only doing a smaller number of transactions, when there is another downturn in the market, and there will be.
This audio clip is from Success Calls on the Mastermind Agent Network. If you like the clip and want to hear the entire call, consider joining Success Calls where top real estate agents share their success tips, ideas, and advice. Learn more at mastermindagent.com.